Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. A month ago, the youth group held their lock-in. And as part of that tradition, we take them to some big event. For the first couple of years, we went to this entertainment venue that had whirly ball and laser tag and bowling. We last year went to round one, and that was an arcade and a bowling alley. This year, we took them to an escape room. And if you've never been to one, let me paint a picture for you. About 20 youth, a handful of adults, arrive in this very poorly lit converted warehouse at about 9 o'clock at night. We enter through the main door. The main door is in the back of this warehouse. And as we walk in, immediately to our left, we see several open-ended cages that are used for axe throwing. And all of them are occupied with young adults. Now, in front of us is a reception desk. And behind the reception desk on that wall are a number of axes, all of various sizes and weights and degrees of intimidation. To our right were several very small lockers. Now, we would soon find out that these lockers were used to house all of the cell phones from the teens so that they were not used when they were in the escape room. And the rule was simple. You're not allowed to enter into any escape room with anything that could record an event or reach out into the internet. Now, as a parent and as an adult, there were several details that I just described to you that caused me a bit of concern. But those lockers, they're not included in the list. The youth, however, the lockers were the only thing on their list. You could see the hesitation and the consternation that this rule imposed upon them was causing them. Even before they were locked in a room together, they were already feeling anxious and distressed. Now, in today's gospel reading, we find the disciples are locked in a room together. And verse 19 states that on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." A week later, they were still huddled together, locked away from the world. And in verse 26 we read, 8 days later, the disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Now, their trepidation was far more justified than our youth, because their very lives were at risk. At any moment, they believed that the Jews or even the Roman soldiers would gather them up and do to them what had been done to Jesus. And so, in their fear, they assembled in this one room and locked themselves away from the world. And they were confused about the events that had just transpired only days before. They saw their Lord and teacher arrested and beaten, crucified and buried. And they were uncertain and petrified about what the future might hold for them. They needed direction. They needed answers, something that would help them decide their next move. Now back in the escape room, the youth and the adults, they were split into three different teams. And each was locked away in their respective rooms. And the goal was very simple. Escape. In 1 hour, they had to solve all of the clues necessary to open that exit door. And with that, the clock started, and they started working. And what was very interesting to me was to watch how quickly they evolved from being independent and thinking independently to being dependent on each other. In a period of maybe only 5 minutes, they went from searching for the first clue by themselves to near constant communication with each other, receiving and sending even the smallest bits of information out to the entire group. And the small bit of pressure that they were under, even though it was self-imposed, was enough to modify their behavior and their reliance on each other for support and for encouragement. And as I watched them, I thought about my life and about the lives of those around me, the lives of many of you. You know, every week at every service, we pray for many of our members by name. And if you subscribe to our prayer chain, you receive emails on a regular basis about the prayer requests of these members, of their friends and family and others. And when I read these emails, and when I have conversations with you, especially in this day and age where we are locked away in our homes, I hear the stress and I hear your concerns. And I hear your uncertainty. And I can feel the pressure that you are under, that we are all under. And it makes me want to gather together with you, to lock myself in this room of your life and stand there beside you. And I'm confident that if I were to ask each one of you, the response would be the same. That you too feel the pressure that they are under, that we are all under. And that you too want to provide support and comfort and encouragement to each other. Of course you do. That's what makes us Christian. And that's what it means to be a follower of Christ. To love God and to love and serve each other. But if you've ever taken any type of counsel training, like Stephen Ministries, you know that you can't help someone by jumping into the quicksand with them. And our disciples were learning that too, while they were being locked in this room together. There was nothing that they could do as a group to change the situation. Well, almost nothing. They could pray. And although it doesn't state it in this passage, I believe that much of that time was spent together doing exactly that. Praying for each other. And I imagine that just like our youth, they quickly moved from being independent to being dependent upon each other for support and encouragement. And I imagine that they prayed constantly as a group, as a church. And I could almost hear their petitions as they cried out to Christ for the needs of each other and for the needs of the entire group. And what they were doing is what we practice every week. We call out to God in a unified voice for strength and for healing and for wisdom. We call out to God for direction and for answers. And in the midst of their worry, in the midst of their prayers, Jesus shows up. Not as a vision, not as a spirit, but as a person, a real person, with hands and with feet still pierced. He shows up and he invites them to approach him, to touch his hands and feet, and to know that he is real and that he is there in their presence. And he did this not just for them, but he did it for us, so that we too can have complete confidence that when we gather as a church, online or in person, that when we cry out to him with our petitions and our concerns and our anxiety, that he hears us. That he's with us right here at this moment and at this time. You see, his appearance says to them, look, I know what pain is. I know the fear that you are going through. I hear you today when you cry out to me. And I hear you because I am right here, right there in your midst. Approach me and know that today, right now, I stand beside you. See, Christ suffered and died on a cross. In a death that was unimaginable and undeserved. And he did it because of the pain that we are going through. He did it because of the sin that exists in all of us. And 3 days later, he rose again, defeating death so that he can stand in the presence of his disciples, so that he can stand in our presence today. So that he can stand here and proclaim peace. Peace be with you, Jesus says. Peace be with you. He says it again. In the midst of our anxiety, in our suffering, in our worry, Jesus brings comfort with his presence. The apostles, after receiving the Holy Spirit, found strength. They found peace. They were no longer anxious about what lay outside those locked doors. They were no longer worried about what the future held for them. Quite simply, they were free. And filled with confidence from the Holy Spirit, we would read later that they broke through the doors and re-entered the world. And they proclaimed the good news of the gospel without fear of consequence. And their anxiety and their worry and their stress didn't go away. They simply replaced it with Christ's peace. And that same peace He offers to us. He calls us to place our anxiety and our worries and our stress in His hands. He wants to take them and exchange them for His peace. Will you let Him? Will you today hand over all that concerns you, all that ails you? And will you receive that which He offers you? That which He died to give you? Peace be with you, He says to you this morning. How will you respond? Will you pray with me? Almighty God and Father, we come together as a church today to worship You, but we also gather because we are hurt, because we suffer, because we sin. And Lord, we gather together today because we too are anxious about the future. Lord, hear us as we cry out to You all that is on our mind and all that weighs us down. Lord, be here with us. Cover us with Your peace, a peace that only You can offer. In Your name we pray. Amen.